Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. Renee, I'm glad you like that. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to 1 Timothy. If you're a visitor here, we're in a study that we have titled Blueprints, the Blueprints of Faith, the Blueprints of Ministry, the Blueprints of Church. It could be the blueprints of everything in your life, but what it means to walk with the Lord, what do the blueprints look like? And that is going to be a study through 1 and 2 Timothy and also in the book of Titus. And this is week 3. And so if you're new to the church or you've missed a few Sundays, we encourage you to do this all the time. But if you ever miss, go back. And we're on iTunes and YouTube and social media. You can find us anywhere and everywhere. And so if you enjoy and are encouraged by what you hear today, go back and catch up with week 1 and 2 of this series. And so if you're a note taker, if you write in your Bible, if you're a journaler, understand where we're going to be this morning. And that is a call to, as my brother said, Scott, to prayer. It is a call to prayer. How prayer is step 1 in the blueprints of ministry. We're going to speak about this. Paul says to Timothy that before you go and do anything, grab a hold of the message. We're going to speak again. We're going to set it up that the gospel, the finished work of Jesus Christ and what he has done in heaven and earth for you and I, that is primary. That is the foundation of all that we do. Before you go out and do anything, make sure you grab a hold of the message. That was week 1. And this week is really like what you do first. What is the first thing you do in ministry, in which we have all been called to? That is not a word for pastors or leaders within the church. That is for fathers and believers, young and old. Like, no matter who you are, we are all in ministry together. So step 1, Paul would say, is to pray. And so look at God's word in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy, this is where we left off last week in verses 18 through 20. Remember, this is a letter from Paul to his brother in Christ, a much younger man in ministry, Timothy, as he ministers to the people of Ephesus. And this is what he says in verse 18 as he closes chapter 1. This charge I commit to you. Remember last week, it is a privilege to be here, right? This charge I commit to you, son Timothy, according to the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by them you may wage the good warfare, having faith and a good conscience, which some have rejected concerning the faith which has suffered shipwreck. Whom are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered to Satan, that they may learn not to blaspheme. And so chapter 1, that is the end of it. Chapter 1 really sets the blueprints, really sets the foundation and the mold for all of our studies. When you look at 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy, and you even look at the book of Titus, really 1 Timothy chapter 1 sets the foundation of all of it. That, as I said earlier, the gospel is primary. That before any kind of plans, when you look at this book, when it talks about what men should be doing, what women should be doing, their positions within the church and life and faith in general, when it talks about deacons and pastors and how to worship and how to give and how to serve, and like how to do the work of the ministry, how to lead your family, it says before you go and do anything, your foundation is set on Christ. That the gospel is primary. And so as believers, what a privilege it is to be used in what's most important. That was week 2. No matter if it is a good season of your life, a hard season of your life, if you're in a moment of plenty or you're in a moment of very little, praise God to be used in what's most important. You have been chosen. You have been saved. You have been gifted. You have been talented to be used by the hand of God in what is so important to all. And so I was thinking about something in a simple way about what's happening at this church. And so we had this vision, this idea of we want a pavilion. We've been talking about it for a while. But we said, how are we going to get a pavilion? We don't have the money or the ideas or the people to do all of these things right now. It's kind of down on the list. This is not something that's feasible. And so our guys got together and said, hey, listen, if we can raise the money, then we will save money by building it ourselves. What a brilliant idea. But here's the thing, church. All good ideas are not always feasible. But these men said, hey, listen, there's a lot of people at this church. And if we can raise the money, there's a small group of us that will do the work. Because as much as I want a pavilion, as much as my family will be celebrating birthdays and all kinds of events out there in that pavilion, as much as I desire, much like many of you, even if my life depended on it, I could not build it. I have not been gifted in that way. I've not been talented in that way. Like, I couldn't do it if you mapped it out in Lego directions. I could not build that thing, right? But some have. Some have been chosen and gifted and talented and been given the special vision of being able to use their hand and do those things. They've been gifted in that way. And so a large group of people at this church, hundreds of people, there's five or six that have been gifted to bless all. They've been chosen to do so. What a privilege it is to be called to that small circle. And he goes, that is Christianity. Like, that is the blueprint of faith. No matter what your season is, what a privilege it is to be chosen by God to bless. What a privilege it is, chosen by God to give, to serve, to teach, to shepherd. He says, grab a hold of the message. Grab a hold of the gospel, chapter 1, protect it, fight for it. Thank the Lord for being used and spreading it. You've been chosen to do so. And so now this week in chapter 2, he says, now that you have the message, it's time to get to work. Now that you have a foundation, it's time to build the walls. It's time to fulfill your purpose. It's time to fight off the enemy. It's time to fight the fight and run the race. It is time to do now that you have, right? And so what is first? What is first? What is step one? What is the first thing that we should do in ministry, no matter who you are? Well, Paul tells Timothy, it's very simple. Look at chapter 2, verse 1. He says, therefore, I plead with you. Therefore, I charge to you, some of your Bibles say, first of all, will you highlight that? If we had a title for this sermon, that's what it would be, first of all. First of all, don't do any other things. Now that you have the message, now that you have the gospel, first of all, these are the first things that you do. It says, first of all supplications and prayers and intercessions and giving of thanks be made for all men. He says, do that first. For kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Keep going. For this is a good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires that all men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth that is in Christ Jesus. And so Paul says very simple to Timothy, brother, you got a lot going on. You're going to be called to do a lot of things. You're going to be pulled in every direction. You're going to have a lot of voices in your ear. But the best and the first thing that you can do is pray. That is the first thing. And as my brother Scott says, and like David, I enjoyed his thought too, because what Scott said is a reality. You and I go through seasons of spiritual schizophrenia to where we're like, man, we are prayer warriors. We are praying with our kids. We are reading scripture. I'm praying for my spouse and my life. And then we just forget to do it in general. It's like exercise. We're on fire 1 minute, and the next minute we haven't spoken to God forever. Like as Scott said, unless it's before a meal. I remember growing up and the only prayer I knew was, God is great. God is good. Thank you for this food. Amen. I'll never forget it. That is all I knew of prayer. That was my only conversation with the Lord. And some of you know this to be true. Well, Paul says differently. He says the first thing that you should do, no matter what season of life you are in, is to pray. And now when it comes to prayer, as I said and mentioned there, the scripture says to pray first. But the truth is, for many of us, that is our last resort. And you know that to be true because you have all said and you have all heard that phrase of, I have tried everything. I guess all I can do now is what? Pray. Isn't that a wild statement when you think about it? Like, I've tried it all. I've tried to do everything I possibly can. Nothing worked. I guess all I can do now is give it to God. All I can do now is bring it to the Lord. All I can do now is pray. But the scriptures tell us that prayer should be our first step in ministry. In Ephesians, Paul would also say to the same people, be sure to be praying at all times in the Spirit. To pray consistently in your life with all prayers and supplications. To that end, to never stop, to keep alert and perseverance, making supplications for all the saints. If you take notes, what Paul is saying to Timothy, he says, pray first. That as you begin ministry, always pray before you do. You need the Lord on your side. Now, when you look at ministry, someone came to me recently that's not in this church, and they just said, Hunter, I understand that 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus is a lot of church and ministry, but I am not in ministry. If you are saved, if you are born again Christian, you are in more ministries than you realize. For you guys that are in marriage, right? You are married, you are in ministry. If you are a man in marriage, maybe you have children. Do you know that you are in the ministry? If you like it or not, the Bible says that you are in the ministry of leading your family well. Did you know that, men? That you are given the charge to lead your wife, your bride, and your children closer to Jesus Christ. You're called to provide and to be kind and to love well, but you are called to lead them spiritually. That is ministry. Paul says, pray first. Pray first. Because so many of us, as we try to lead our families, we are over our heads. It takes me back to the message in 1 Kings when God would say to Solomon, you can pray for anything and I will give it to you for how much I have loved your father and his faith. And what does Solomon pray for? He prays for wisdom. Why? Because Solomon knows, God, if you give me anything, I'm just going to mess it up because I'm over my head. Solomon was a young man at the time, and his father had passed, and he was getting all that his dad had and owned. He was going to be king. He was going to be leader. He was going to have to step up and be in a space that he was not ready for, and he knew it. And so he said, God, give me wisdom, because if you give me money, I'm going to squander it. If you give me people, I'm going to hurt them. He says, I need wisdom because I need to know how to navigate because I'm over my head. For so many of us in this room, we are over our head. You have children for the first time in your life. Like, why would you think you know what you're doing? I remember being in the hospital with my firstborn, Liam. And I remember the nurse coming to me after like 48 hours and going, hey, Hunter, y'all are welcome to leave. And I was like, are you sure? Like, you're really going to trust me to take this baby home? Like, I can barely feed myself, let alone a child. I don't know how to do this. I'm over my head. Some of you guys have a hard enough time like leading your own life, let alone a wife. For my mamas up there, walking in motherhood and being a wife, for you guys that are friends in faith to other people and people are looking up to you, whatever it is, raising children, marriage and family, whatever it might be, he says, go in prayer first. God, help me be the father that I need to be. Do you pray that, men? Or do you think that you have it figured out? Do you go to God and say, God, help me be the husband that I need to be. Help me be the wife that I need to be. The mama, the parent, help me be that for these people that I love. Paul would say, Timothy, before you go out and do, make sure you pray. God, give me wisdom. Give me faith. Give me strength. Give me endurance because I am over my head. In those different settings in your life, no matter who you are, do you pray for wise decisions? This is something that I grew up rarely doing, even in ministry, rarely doing. This is something that I've just now adopted in the last 5 or 6 years because I thought I would make good decisions on my own. Like, I never prayed of, like, is this where I need to move or is this what I need to do? Is this what's best? Because I thought Hunter Jones can make wise decisions without the Lord, right? Is this the type of car that I need to have? Should I be changing jobs? Should I date this individual? Is this the time to get married? Whatever it is, church, do you go to God in prayer before all those decisions? I think very rarely we do those things. Paul would say, hey, Timothy, because he writes about this in chapters 3 and 4, before you teach, make sure you pray. For you guys that are teaching your children and loved ones, or maybe you lead Bible studies, or maybe you're a Sunday school teacher, or maybe you're a leader in this church, maybe you preach other places, no matter where you are, we have a lot of listeners in other places. Do you preach before you give the word? I mean, do you pray before you give the word? God, remove all agendas from my mind. Give me the words to speak. Do you pray those things? Help my child listen. Help the people listen. Be with my words. Get all the eyes and praise off me, but be with the things that I say. Do you pray those things? Do you pray for the ministry of hard words? God will give some of you guys many opportunities to have very hard words with people that you love. Do you pray beforehand? God, protect this moment. I'm going to have to address sin. I'm going to have to address problems. Be with my words and be with their ears. Paul would say, Timothy, before you go out and do, brother, pray. Here's a wise word that I need all of you to hear. God will never send you or call you to something that you can do on your own. The outcome of what you desire and what God calls you to will always depend on your prayer in Him. In ministry, whatever it is, God will never call you to do something that you can do on your own merit. Whatever God calls you to do, it will always hang on the dependence of you leaning on Him in prayer. And so Paul says, Timothy, bring everything to Him. Like, how strong is our prayer life? I think I fail you guys, to be honest with you, that I don't talk about it enough. I don't think the church talks about it enough. I think a lot of us are probably struggling in our prayer life, going to the Lord in all of the different ways. We have a hard enough time leaning on one another, let alone our Creator. How strong is your prayer life? Because Paul would say, bring it all to Him. Because prayers consist of many different ways and forms of communicating with God. It says it right here. It says, bring to Him first supplications. Do you know what that word supplication means? It means humble plea. It means request. God, please heal me. Have you ever been sick? Have you ever been destitute? Have you ever been struggling? Have you ever been ill? Have you ever been low? Have you ever dropped to your knees and said, God, I don't have like special words to bring to you. I don't even know what to say, but help me. Have you ever brought that to the Lord? Some of my greatest prayers have been silent. Some of the closest time I've ever been to the Lord have been in my office at midnight with my face on the ground, with tears in my eyes, saying, God, I don't know what to say, but help me, please. Have you ever been there? Do you bring those humble pleas to the Lord? Hear my words. God, I will follow your will, but please help me with fill in the blank of whatever you struggle with. God says, bring that to me. Whatever your thorn is, whatever your struggle is, whatever your cancer is, whatever your frustration is, whatever your concern, bring it to me. We see this. You don't have to flip in Jeremiah 37. Jeremiah, in the midst of all of the issues, he says, therefore, please, God, hear me. Hear me, oh my Lord King, please. Let my petition, let my supplication be accepted before you. And do not make me return to the house of Jonathan the scribe, lest I will die there. Do you bring your fears to Him? Do you bring the God, help me, heal me, save me? Do you bring that to the Lord? Because Paul says, Timothy, do so. Do you bring your intercessions to the Lord? Do you know what intercessions mean? Intercessions is the prayer for others that God would step in. Are you a prayer warrior for others? I will say this, and just to put her on the spot, so maybe that you use her well too. I remember going through a very hard season of my life, and I remember leaning on some, and I leaned on a prayer warrior, Miss Vicki Hatch. And her just telling me, "Hunter, I am praying for you," brought comfort to my life. I remember this one text that she sent me out of nowhere one time. And like I said, not to embarrass her, I just love her so much. I remember struggling in my mind and my heart, and I was going through a lot of things. And I remember her telling me, "Hunter, I've been praying so much. I prayed until the Lord put on my heart that everything was going to be okay." And that was the greatest words for me because I believed it. But then not only did I believe it, I looked in the mirror and I asked myself, like, are you a prayer warrior for other people? Would anybody come to you? Would anybody bring comfort from you praying for other people? God says, bring your intercessions to me for other people. We see this in the book of Genesis and all throughout the scriptures. When we see Abraham stand before God and he pleads with God about Sodom and Gomorrah, he says, would you kill the righteous in the midst of punishing the wicked? We see this in Exodus. Do you remember that story? In Exodus where Moses is on Mount Sinai, and he comes down from Mount Sinai, and what is Aaron and all of the people doing? Do you remember? They got all the gold, and they started worshiping the golden calf, and Moses said, "What are you doing?" And God says, listen to the word, "I have seen that these people with you indeed are stiff-necked people. And now, therefore, leave me alone that my wrath may burn hot against them and may consume them, and I will make you a great nation." But then Moses pleaded with the Lord his God and said, "Lord, why does your wrath burn so hot against your people who you brought out of the land of Egypt? Great power and with your mighty hand. Why should the Egyptians say to themselves, 'He brought them out of harm just to kill them in the mountains. Save them, God.'" Do you do this? Do you stand before God for the salvation and the healing and the help to other people? Do you do those things? Do you consider yourself a prayer warrior? It is the image of Christ for us. In Romans 8, it says, "Who is he who condemns? It is Christ who died. And furthermore, is also risen, who is even at the right hand of God," hang on at church, "who also makes intercessions for us." Is that who you are? Because Paul would say, before you go out in ministry, brother, make sure that you go out in prayer for not just yourself, but for those that you will be ministering to. Because here's a hard truth. The people in your life, your kids, your spouse, your loved ones, those that are in your inner circle, they need God way more than they need you. And here's a reality too. You need God way more than you need them. And so I am constantly sitting with my kids, trying to lead them, trying to guide them, trying to pour wisdom. But the greatest thing that their father has ever told any of them is that God will love you so much more than I will ever love you. That God will help you so much more than I will ever help you. That God's word is flawless, so much greater than my thoughts and opinions on how to live this life. You need Jesus. I'm just trying my best. Paul says, before you go out and you try to do, step one is prayer. Prayer. Do you pray for your family? Do you pray for your life? Do you pray for your kids? Do you pray for the ministry? Do you pray for your words? Here's a reality. Here's a reality, if you like it or not. This world is all about who you know. This world is all about who you know, and who you know will always open up more doors for you than just simply who you are or what you deserve or the effort that you have given. And here's the good news as for believers, you know the man in charge. Like who you have connections to is CEO and president and supervisor, boss and king all together. You have a connection to the one in charge. And Paul says, go to God first. Why would you waste your whole existence? You trying to do it on your own when you got connections to the top? Like all you have to do is knock. And that makes me think about my life. That makes me think about all the things that I have tried to do on my own effort and my own merit and my own opinion and my own thoughts, my own wisdom, before just going to God and saying, God, what should I do here? Men and women, do you do that? For my young ones, as you start to look at like who I should date and what college I should go to, what should I do with my life? Here's the greatest words of advice. More than listen to your parents, listen to God. God, where would you have me? Get that discipline in your life. And that is the first step. But so many of us, including me, I've tried everything. I guess all I can do now is pray. Do you bring your worries to God? Heal me, protect me, help me. Do you bring your concerns and your fears and pain? God, make clear to me, give me clarity. I was thinking about being a father. And the truth is, as much as I love my kids, you know, I can only take so many questions, right? And there are times, and all of our kids are different, but there are times that I think my four get together and go, hey, let's go hit dad with questions simultaneously, right? And questions that he can't answer. And so constantly I'll have kids coming up to me like, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, hey, dad, hey, hey, dad, hey, dad, hey, dad. And these are not simple questions. These are questions, to be honest with you, that I have no clue the answer. Like, why is the weather in Russia right now? Like, I have no clue. I have no clue. I can barely find Russia on the map, let alone talk to you about the weather. But my kids come to me with everything and anything. And then you get to a point of frustration, right, parent? And you go, hey, no more questions. Well, God's not like that. God doesn't get tired. God doesn't get frustrated. God doesn't get annoyed. If anything, He wants more of it. Like, bring all of your fears and bring all your concerns. And here's the good news. Any question that you might have, I got the answer for it. And it's not my opinion or not what I think or just not my preference on something. Like, I created it, so I know all things about it. He says, bring it all to me. And so if you look at ministry and you look at the context of what's happening, Paul is talking to a young man that is really over his head with all the stuff happening in the church. All the problems, the wolves that are rising from within. He's over his head in stress and frustration. And he goes, hey, Paul, like, what do I do? What does Paul say? Grab a hold of the gospel and pray. If you have lost me so far, grab a hold of the gospel and pray. Parent, that is the best thing you can do for your kids. Grab a hold of the gospel and pray. Fathers, husbands, mamas, grab a hold of the gospel and pray. Not only do you go to, I ask you, do you go to God with your fears or your worries or your concerns? Do you go to God for others? Do you pray for the salvation of the lost? This will cut you to your core if you have one, but for you guys with kids, that your kids are not saved, how often do you pray for salvation for your children? The idea that man or woman would be so busy and so preoccupied that we don't pray constantly for the salvation of our kids, that our children will know Jesus and find heaven one day. How often do you pray for that? Because there should be nothing else that matters. Right now, I am in a strong place of prayer right now in my life, church, but I'll be real with you. Sometimes I have a hard time praying for anything else. Like, there's times where, I, Lord, be with this situation and help me here. Like, I don't even really care about it. Just save my children. You save my boys. That's all I care about. All I care about is just pray and save my girls. Parent, do you pray for that? If you're a spouse and your significant other is not following the Lord and they're drifting for the Lord, like, do you pray like, God, bring them back in. Save them, strengthen us, give me the foundation. Are you a prayer warrior for others? I thought about this as well, because Paul's going to mention it here soon. Do you pray that God will pull back or pull in those that have drifted, as I said? And sometimes I don't see us do that because I think that we often feel that they're getting what they deserve. And so we see someone drift from the church, or we see someone drift from faith or drift from their family, and we look at them and go, I told them, just keep moving past. I've done that many times in my life. Paul would say, no matter who it is, pray that God does a mighty work in their life. Do you do that? I think many of us, if we were honest, we would say, well, it depends on the person. It depends on the circumstances. But what does God's word say in 1 Timothy? What does he say? He says, bring all supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. Verse 3, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of our God, our Savior, who desires all men. You got a highlighter, all men, not the ones that you feel are worth it, but those who God sees as worth it, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. Scripture is very clear that we are called to minister, love, and to pray for all people, all leaders, all colors, men and women, all ages, those that we consider friends and those that we consider enemies, because God desires that all men would come to the knowledge of the power and salvation of Jesus Christ. The privilege of ministry is loving those that the world does not love. That is what separates us. In that famous verse in Luke, hear the word, it says, but if you love those and pray for those that just love you, what credit is that to you? For even sinners love those that love them. Do you minister and pray for those that are hard to minister to? Do you pray for those that you think are getting their just desserts? Do you pray for those that you don't think should be in office, that are hurting you, that have hurt you in your past? Because personally, church, listen to me, I have found it hard to hate those that I'm praying for. I have found it hard to resent those that I am praying for. I have found it hard to be angry towards those that I am praying for. Those that I am fervent in praying for are those that I think deserve it. And God says, no, you pray for even those that you see as your enemy. And the truth is, guys, our heart is geared towards anger and hate and criticalness and arrogance and annoyance. We're constantly frustrated with a boss, coworker, family member, coach, neighbor, spouse. Hate is so easy. Like, hate is so easy. Like, if you guys wanted to turn on me, it wouldn't be complicated. Like, when someone comes to me and says, hey, Hunter, I don't like this about you, I'm always thinking, like, what took you so long? Like, get in line. Like this is not hard to, like, come up with something that I'm not good at or annoys you. Like, if we wanted to destroy each other, like, it wouldn't be hard to do. Like, hate is so easy. Paul tells Timothy, ministry, there's no room for hate. There's no room for hate. You are called to love those and pray for those and want good for those, no matter who they are. I think that's why, as we start to come into our Lord's Supper, I think that's why we're given 5 and 6. Verses 5 and 6, I almost feel like Timothy's listening to Paul and going, hey, brother, I don't know if you know the people I know. Like, I don't want to pray for this guy. I don't want to like this guy. I don't want to do anything good for this guy. Like, I don't think you know the people that I'm around. And randomly, we have the gospel once again that I think addresses that mentality of hate and anger that we feel is justifiable. Look at verses 5 and 6. Paul says here, for there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself as a ransom for all to be testified in due time. I'm constantly believing that God's word talks to us. And I think that we sit there and we go, Hunter, I just can't pray for that one who hurt me, who's done all those things to me. I'm not praying for that guy in office. I'm not praying for that individual who hates me too. I'm not praying for that woman who has backstabbed me. I'm not praying for what they stand for. And I think what we got right here is the gospel that shatters all of that hate. Because the gospel looks at us and says, hey, listen, the things that you refuse to pray for are the things that God, that Jesus stood before God and prayed for you about. That you were that person at one time that did not deserve. You were that person who couldn't earn. You were that person that was for the enemy. You were that person that desperately needed someone to pray. And so the gospel shines in the midst of all of this. And he says, pray for your enemies because you were once an enemy. The message of the gospel shatters all justifications. Just as Christ, please hear me out, just as Christ stood before God for us, we are called to stand before God for others. That doesn't mean that we have to support and to love things that people do, but it does mean that we are called to love and pray for them. That is ministry. That is ministry. That is what it means to be a father and a friend and a neighbor and a believer, is to stand before God and to pray for not just your list of people that you enjoy or you think that are worth it, but for all men, because God desires for all men to come and know Him. As we go into our Lord's Supper and we call our praise team up, we're going to do something a little different with prayer, because I truly believe that our prayer life is very revealing to us. And so we're going to pray two things. As we go into our Lord's Supper, we're going to pray one, we're going to pray for ourselves. We're going to seek repentance. We're going to seek healing. We're going to seek restoration. We're going to seek those things for ourselves. And then lastly, we're going to bring our intercessions to the Lord, and we're going to pray for other people in our life. But as our praise team comes up, one thing I want to hit you with is that, as I said, I believe that our prayer life is revealing. And so I want you to think about your own life. I think our prayer life reveals our relationship with God. Because if you truly knew the power of God and the power of forgiveness and what is capable of God, I think all of us would be on our knees multiple times a day. So when you look in the mirror and you look at your prayer life, I believe that it reveals your relationship with Him. I believe that it reveals your confidence in Him. The things that you've seen God do and the things that you believe that God can do, if you truly believe that God could change all things, what would your prayer life look like? Think about that. If you thought God can move the heavens and the earth, He can save that person that the world has given up on, like, wouldn't we be praying more earnestly? Because here's the reality, guys. When you give up on people, you don't give up on people, you give up on God. We've all said it before. We've all looked at that individual and says they will never be saved. They will never change. They will never listen. They will never hear. And when we give up on people, what we are saying is, I don't even think God Himself can save that individual. Paul says, no. In ministry, there's no room for that. There's no room for hate. There's no room for dismissing that we should earnestly pray that God does a good work in those individuals' life. I think it reveals your confidence in Him. And then lastly, I think it reveals your love for others. And so the Lord's Supper, church, is the same blueprint that we see in ministry. We see the gospel give life to prayer. And that is what Paul says to the church in Corinth when he comes to them. And he says, you guys do not know what you are doing because you don't know the message. He preaches the gospel to them. And the first thing that he calls the church to do is what? Pray. And so we're going to be doing the same thing this morning. So I'm going to read you two different prayers. And I want you to see it for yourself. I want to slow it down and I want you to see these prayers for yourself. Turn to Matthew 6, please. This is the Lord's Prayer that you might know like the back of your hand, but we're going to read it together and I want you to really study the word. This is the words of Jesus teaching us how to pray for those and for ourselves. For my kiddos, no matter how old you are, turn your Bibles to Matthew 6. God's word says this: in this manner, therefore, pray. Our Father who is in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done. So the first off, he says, pray that it is God's will, not ours. He says, on earth as it is in heaven, give us today our daily bread. Don't worry about tomorrow or the week after. God, provide today what is needed and forgive us of our debts. Forgive me as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation. Do you pray that, church? I've started praying that constantly now because I've seen the enemy work in my life. I pray, God, keep the enemy away and do not lead me down that direction. Do you pray that? But deliver us from the evil one. And for yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. And so this is my charge to you. This is my plea to you to pray while our praise team sings. Pray for yourself. Pray, God, forgive me. Seek repentance. Whatever is in your life. God, forgive me. God, save me if you are lost. God, save me. I lean on the cross. I lean on the gospel. I lean on the finished work of Jesus Christ. Save me. But then also, God, heal me. God, protect me. Whatever it is in your life, whatever it is in your life that you need help with, this is the time to say, God, help me. I am over my head and I need help because God is all ears. Let's bow our heads. God, we thank you for today. I thank you for what you've done here in this church. I thank you for forgiveness. I thank you for your son. I thank you for the cross that was born and the grave that he rose out of. I thank you for his grace and mercy that is undeserving and unwarranted. Lord, I thank you for the son. I thank you for these things. Lord, I know that we are all struggling. I know that we have burdens on us. I know that we have stress on us. And so many times, our prayer is our last resort. Lord, I pray that we come to you now. I pray that we pray for healing, that we pray for comfort, that we pray for guidance, that we pray for wisdom, that we pray for salvation and restoration. I pray for our kids to grow strong in faith. I pray for marriages to be restored and strengthened. I pray for husbands to lead well and women to follow and to nurture godly. I pray for all of these things. We have so much falling on this earth, in this church, in this room, Lord. This is the time I pray that we bow our heads, fall to our knees and pray, God, help me, because we know that you are a God of help. In your precious and holy name, amen.